1 John, the 5th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 9 of 1 John, 5th chapter. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Let us pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for this great opportunity you've given us to gather in this place. Father, we've had Sunday school classes preaching teaching the Word of God. We have now a service here where we preach God's Word. We have children's churches, Lord, and that'll be bringing forth the Word of God. We pray in every situation, Lord, that you'll be honored, you'll be glorified. That's our desire. And Father, as the Word of God goes forth, that we'll be willing to listen to it and Lord, to just mind what it says. If there's any here without Christ, never been born again, oh God, let this be the day of their salvation. And Father, you be glorified. More than anything else, we want to uplift the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to do that. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The verses that I have read to you are some of the most precious, precious verses in the Word of God concerning salvation. They are tremendous verses. God makes it oh so clear. Exactly what must be done to be saved, to be sure we're God's children and ready for heaven. He doesn't say anywhere in there to join any church to get saved. He doesn't say in there anywhere to get baptized to be saved. Now, we're glad we can do that. I'm glad we joined a church. I'm glad we got baptized and all those things are right and proper, but you didn't do that to get saved. You see, God's going to make it very plain how to be saved. But I look at verse number 9, he talks about we receive the witness of men. The witness of God is even greater. And you know, we human beings, we're like that. We will receive a man's witness. Don and I just took a trip to Columbus, Georgia. And the map said Columbus, Georgia was there. We found out it was true. It was exactly where the map said it was. We didn't especially like Columbus, Georgia, but it was there. And but anyway, we looked at the map and we said, how am I going to get to Columbus, Georgia? We took the roads that it said and we went and we got there just like it said. Amen. Why? We received the witness of men. And we live our lives like that, whether you realize it or not. You see, we send our kids to school and we have textbooks and things like that. We believe what it says in those textbooks. Some of the public school textbooks, we probably shouldn't. But anyway, and we're not preaching about that some more. But anyway, we believe what it says. Amen. Because it's there. All right. And we take the witness of men and we believe the witness of men. But let me say something to you. God says the witness of God is greater. In other words, you see, it is possible that men would lie. It is possible that men could make a mistake and put something down that should not be there. But it is impossible for God to lie. And so his witness is even greater. Anything that God says is absolute truth. That's why his Bible is the Word of God and it is truth. You can depend upon it. It is absolute truth. Amen. So we know that the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. And then he says, he that believeth. And so this is part of his witnessing. So let's listen to what he says. He says that for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his son. I think back to times when God testified of his son. I think back there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He also said at his baptism, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He says, hear ye him. He testified from heaven of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And so he's testified of him. And he says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And you see, if you believe on God, if you believe him, you have a witness in yourself that you're God's child. What is that witness? That's the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God come in to live in you when you got saved. When I got saved, Holy Spirit of God come in to witness to me of my salvation. I know I'm saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with me that I'm a child of God. Amen. The witness is in ourselves. If that witness is not in us, we ought to do something about that. We ought to make sure that we're God's child, see, born again into his family, so we can have that witness in ourselves that God has saved us and given us eternal life. So he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You see, if a person does not believe God, he's made God a liar. So, oh, I would never call God a liar. Yes, 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 you would. You see, you wouldn't want to, but you would. You'd be doing it by saying, I don't believe God. I don't believe what God says. And God says, when you say that, you are calling God a liar. Amen. You may not speak it out loud. You may not say it out loud. But if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will save your soul, you're calling God a liar. Amen. And God is no liar. It's an impossibility, you see, for God to lie. And he says, because. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. He said, here's the why. Here's why you're calling God a liar. He said, because you didn't believe the record that God gave of his son. Now, what is that record? Well, God makes it very clear. In the next verse, he tells us what that record is. What is the record that God left of his son? He says, and this is the record. All right, the one he talked about in verse number 10. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. The record is that when God gives us life, he gives us eternal life. It's eternal. It's forever. It's not just for a few weeks or a few days or months or years. It's forever. It's an eternal life that God gives to us. And the only way you can have that life is through his son. That life, that eternal life, is found in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody agreeing with me up to here? I mean, isn't that true? That's the only way anybody's going to get saved is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Life is found in Christ. Eternal life is found in Christ. There's no other way to have it. Now, that's the record that God gave, you see. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. And he simply makes a statement in verse number 12 that is a wonderful statement. He says, here's what you decide. And I would say that to you this morning. Here's how you decide that. He says that he that hath the son hath life. And he that hath not the son of God hath not life. So you either have the son of God this morning and you have life. Or you have not the son of God this morning and you don't have life. That makes it pretty plain, isn't it? Amen. That's clear. See, that's what God has given. Whoa, what wonderful verses of scripture God gives us here, you see. And then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I just want to ask you a question this morning. He said, these things have I written unto you, those things that we've just read. We've just expounded just a little bit. He said, I wrote those things to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, folks, listen. You ought to know you have eternal life because you believed upon the Son. Amen. You have the Son, and you ought to know that without any shadow of doubt, that you have eternal life. Now you say, I'm not sure whether I have eternal life. Get that taken care of this morning. We're not making fun of you. That's 1966. I didn't know I had eternal life. I was a church member. I was been baptized. And I didn't know I had eternal life. Why? Because I didn't have eternal life. I just become a church member. That won't get you to heaven. See, they even took me and baptized me. That won't get you to heaven. There must be a time in your life when you truly are born again into God's family, and then you have eternal life, you see. And you don't want to miss that, you see. And do you have eternal life, you see? That's the question. Do you have it? Do you have the Son this morning? Do you know you have eternal life? You ask yourself this morning and say, if I died right now, do I know I have eternal life? Do I know for sure I would go to heaven? Do I know that in my heart? Well, God wants you to know it. That's why he wrote these things. Amen. Now, somebody, I've had so many people tell me that. You have too, if you've done any witnessing. You had people tell you, I just think it's impossible for anyone to know for sure they're going to heaven. Well, you ought to read that verse of scripture I just read. God said, I wrote these things that you may know you have eternal life. No, God wants you to know. Devil don't want you to know. God wants you to know you have eternal life. Amen. And if you're not sure of that, you don't know you have eternal life, you ought to get that taken care of. You ought to put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And even here this morning, there'll be an opportunity to come and an invitation and put your faith and trust in Christ. We'll get people to take the Bible and just show you how you can know you have eternal life. Amen. So you need to know that, God says. You see, that's why he wrote these things. And then in verse number 14, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The word confidence there means to trust. It means to have boldness. And we find out it's in God. Have boldness in God. Have the assurance, confidence, knowing that we're God's child. Amen? See, we can have confidence in him. Let me read to you something that Abraham said to God. O God, he said, suffer thy servant to speak to thee, though he be but dust and ashes before thee. Abraham said this. Abraham said, you know, I'm an undeserving. He said, I'm like the dust. Most of you somewhere along the line has either dug a ditch or you've put a shovel into the ground and got a hunk of dirt out of there. I want to tell you, it's surprising how heavy that is. I mean, one little shovel of dirt is heavy. But God, Abraham said, you know, God, I'm not even a shovel of dirt. I'm just like the dust. I'm the very finest of particles. I go down our gravel road. We've got a little ways. We have to go down a gravel road to get to our house. And boy, it just boils up behind us in this dry weather. Just boils up behind us. Just dust. It's just the very finest of particles. You see, that just fly up in the air. Abraham said, that's what I am. He said, I'm nothing more than just the dust. He said, also, I'm like ashes. You can take a big old log and burn that thing down and burn it and burn it and burn it and burn it until it all burns up and all is left is a little bit of ashes. It's just the ashes left. Abraham said, I'm not a log. I'm an ash. That's all I am. But God, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. And Abraham had confidence that God would listen to someone who was nothing but dust and ashes. Abraham had that confidence. Why did he have that confidence? His confidence, in as verse 14 says, is in God. He said, my confidence and that we have in him. Now, folks, listen. We need to have confidence in God. We need to do what he says. And if you'll notice there in verse number 14, and if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. A lot of folk want to take that one, two words out of that verse of scripture. If we ask anything, God will hear us and do it for us. No, that's not what God said. God said, if we ask anything according to his will, not our will, his will, he said he'll do it for us. Amen. You see, that's one of the great things about praying. When you first started as a Christian, you start praying, you start asking for everything. I mean, you ask for all kinds of things. You don't know how to pray a lot of times. And you pray and you just ask for things you want. As you grow as a Christian, you learn to begin to ask for things that God wants you to ask for. That's getting to know God. You get to know God, you begin to say, God, this is what you'd have for my life. I know, and I want to ask you for it. You see, that's what God wants, according to his will. How else are you going to know the will of God until you get to know God? You begin to ask. What? According to his will. That's what you ask for. You see, you have confidence that God will hear you. And the petition you ask of him, God will do it for you. Why? It's according to his will. Amen. See, so many times, if we don't be careful, we begin to ask things outside of the will of God. I know we're living at a time, I mean, we really are, we're living at a time when financial pressures are, I mean, heavy. They're everywhere. I mean, people is in all kinds of financial straits a lot of times. I understand that. But listen to me, folks. If you and many times they go to prayer and they say, God, I need help here. I need help here. And I need you to help me. And what happens is they're praying against the will of God. And you say, Brother Ross, why are they doing that? Because you've mishandled your finances. You're not handling them according to the Word of God. You're not handling them according to this book. And so you've got yourself in a mess financially, and then you want God to straighten it out without you straightening out. You see, God wants us to do according to His will. I'm not down on anybody in here about their finances. I know finances is a hard, difficult thing. But listen to me. God has a way if you'll just mind the book. No, God has a way. He'll take care of it, okay? But you can't ask God to straighten all your financial woes out without minding the book. I know it gets quiet, but I'm serious about this. You need to ask according to His will. Be willing to live according to His will. You can't go out and spend all of that money and just blow all that money and say, where's God? He didn't provide for me. Yes, He did. You spent it. Yeah, you did. You spent it. You had it. But you spent it for something you weren't supposed to spend it on. I'm not trying to be mean to you, I'm trying to help you. You see, it's according to His will. The will of God. See, He has all kinds to think in the Word of God to speak concerning finances and money and how we should handle. There's just verses after verses after verses in the Word of God concerning money and how to handle them. You see, we need to get in the book. And handle it. Because we're living in a day, folks, when people, I mean, are up to here. No, up to here in debt. Amen. And I mean, it's a mess. I mean, it really is. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying that's not the way to live. Get in the book. Find out what the book says. Amen. And do it according to His will. So a lot of times we ask God to do something that's contrary to His will. Same thing. A lot of times we want to ask God to straighten out our families. Say, God, we've got these rebellious children, and I don't know what to do about it. They're rebellious, and God, I want to need you to straighten them out. Listen to me. I understand. You want your children straightened out. Follow the book in getting them straightened out. Do what God says. You can't expect God to straighten out your family if you won't. He's put you there to straighten out your family. He's put you there to do it. You understand what I'm saying? See, Pastor Ross is not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to get you back to the book. Don't ask God to do something you refuse to do yourself. Amen. There's a discipline for children, folks. And let me say to you, the right kind of discipline. It's not ungodly discipline, and it's not hurting them and beating them and all those things, but there's discipline for them. You are to discipline them, and God will help you in straightening out your family. Amen. See, it's according to His will, according to His book. Amen. We got to get back to the book, you see, and do it according to His will. And so there's a lot of times we do that. We'll say, God, I want you to make my children do exactly what they're supposed to do. And we refuse to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God tells us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God tells us to train them. Okay, folks? You know what's happening today? We just get so busy, we don't want to do the training. We just don't want to do it. It takes time to train children. It's work to train children. And mamas, you have to be there to train them. And daddies, you have to be over all of that. And you have to be a part of that training. It's work. But it takes day after day after day after day after day after day. It takes a life of that little child. You can't wait till they're 15 and decide to train them. You got to train them early. How? According to the Bible, God's Word, according to His will. Amen. Now, I'm all for praying. I'm all for praying and asking God to help us. You know that. But if you're just going to give it off to God and say, you straighten them out, God don't work that away. He'll do things you cannot do, but He expects you to do that which you can do. Amen. Sure He will, you see. So anyway, there's so many things, and I'm just going to use this one again, because a lot of times health is a real problem with all of us. A lot of us have health problems. We want to make sure why we have those health problems. God does all kinds of things in health allows sicknesses sometimes just for the glory of God. He did a blind man that way. He said, was it because of their sin that they was made blind? He said, no, not because of their sin. He wasn't saying they weren't sinners. He was saying, no, this blindness did not come, but it was to bring glory to God. Jesus was going to heal them. And it brought glory to God. What I'm just simply saying, though, the Bible talks about the Lord's Supper. People come to the Lord's Supper unworthily. And because of that, there are many sickly, and some are even dead because they come to the Lord's Supper unworthily. You come to the Lord's Supper, you ought to have things right with God. You ought to get your life right. You ought to get it forgiven and cleansed as you come to the Lord's Supper. A lot of people is sick today because it's of a Christian. I'm talking about Christians. Because they won't come to the Lord's Supper. They come to the Lord's Supper unworthily. They won't get their life straightened out. You understand what I'm saying? You hear me? All right. Check it out. Amen. So be careful. You're going to have to pray, and I'm going to have to pray according to the will of God. According to his word. Amen. See, it's important that we do that. Now, what do we do as far as praying? We want him to hear us, don't we? We want God to hear us. I believe we all do. We want God to hear us. Let me show you some verses of scripture. I want you to go back with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, 66th chapter of Psalms. Verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I think you probably believe the way I do. I believe whatever the Bible says is true. I mean, do you believe that? I mean, when God says something, I mean, he doesn't look down and say, Brother Ross, I'm going to put you exempt on that. And it says that, but you're exempt from that. Does God do that? Does he say that to you either? Or when he says something in the word of God, don't he mean it for all of us? Well, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm going to keep iniquity in my heart, I'm going to keep sin there unconfessed. I'm not going to do right, and I'm going to continue in my sinning ways. What does the Bible says that he won't do? He won't hear us. He'll turn his ear away from our prayers. Now, God said that. Over in the book of Proverbs, please, the 15th chapter of Proverbs. Verse 29. The Lord, now listen to what it says. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, again, I believe he means what he says. He said he's far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Go with me over to chapter 28 of Proverbs. Verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination. Do you hear what God said? God said, if you turn your ear away from hearing the law, you refuse to hear the word of God, he said, even your prayer is an abomination. Now, God says that. Amen. He's not trying to discourage you. He's trying to show you that you and I need to get close to God. We need to hear the word of God. We need to trust in the word of God. We need to believe in God's word. And we need, why? So he'll hear our prayer. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let me just read to you a few verses. Verse number 15, first chapter, the book of Isaiah. What I'm trying to do in showing you these verses of scripture is that if you want God to hear you and I want God to hear me, we're going to have to stay clean. He don't fool around with that. If you really want him to hear your prayers, we're going to have to be clean. Look what he says in verse number 15. It says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He just simply says you turn from your evil ways, you get washed, you get cleansed, you put them things aside, and you walk with God, and you get cleansed. Now let me say something to you. A person who's not saved, God is not going to hear your prayers. The prayer he hears is the prayer of repentance in receiving Christ as your personal Savior. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to be saved. And that's the blood of Christ that washes you clean. But at the same time, let me say it, for God's children, we must be clean. You think God's going to put up with us as children of God walking around in sin and doing wrong and everything? God's just going to wink at that thing? You see, God meets our basic need. I've had people tell me, well, God gives me food. God meets my basic needs. Well, he does that for all of his children. I want to know, when you had children at home and they all didn't do what they were supposed to do, do you still feed them? I mean, do you still get them clothes? Sure you do. God does the same thing. But he doesn't give the extra blessings upon our life when we're disobedient to God. He'll take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll clothe you. He'll do those things. That's wonderful. But if you want the blessings of God upon your life, you're going to have to be clean. You want God to hear your prayers, you're going to have to be clean. Amen. I remember years ago, I remember it like it was yesterday. It's probably been 20, I don't know how many years it's been. It's been a lot of years, but I remember we was in the home. Don and I was in the home of a family. And they'd invited us over, and we went in, and this little girl, she came over and said to us, she said, Pastor Ross, I want you to look at something. She said, looky here. Said, God blessed us with this television set. Now hear the whole story. She said, God blessed us with this television set. And I said, is that right? She said, yes. Said, and the mom and dad could have killed her. She gave the whole scoop. She said, it cost $1,000. Now, 20 years ago, that's a lot of money. Said, it cost $1,000. And we went to bank and got the money. Here were this mother and dad over giving her a glaring eye like, I'm going to kill you when they're gone. Can I say something to you? Bless her heart. She didn't know the difference. You know, but that was not a blessing from God. No. That was not a blessing from God. God never led that family to do that. I'm not picking on them. I'm not being mean. I'm just simply saying God never led them to spend $1,000 on an old TV set that they could not afford and went to the bank, and God did get the money and pay the bank back. Where did God get any glory out of that? You understand what I'm saying? You see, so many times we do things, we handle things ourselves. And is God? We want to get God involved in it, but God was never involved in that. You understand? Hurts, don't it? Sure does. See, a lot of times children give their children, they bless them and help them, and they're disobedient. I mean, I'm telling you something. We sat in a restaurant here the other day when we got up, and we were staying in a motel, and we went down to eat the continental breakfast, you know. I don't know why they call it continental breakfast, but that's what they call it. And we went down there and ate it. It was a deluxe continental. I just wanted you to know that. It was deluxe. And that's what they said anyway. But anyway, we went down there. We were sitting over here, and there was a family sitting over here, and the little boy, I don't know, you think he was 7 or 8 or 9 or somewhere in there, 7 or 8 maybe. He was sitting there, and his mother, it was one of those things that they could make a waffle. I mean, it was neat. I watched them do that. They put this stuff they had mixed. You put it in there, and then you turn the thing over, and it cooked this waffle up. And so she got it out and put it on the plate for the little boy and took it over there to him, and he was having trouble cutting it up. And she said, here, I'll cut it up. And he kind of jerked his shoulder like that. You know, he didn't want her cutting it up. But anyway, she finally took the knife and cut it all up and put some syrup on it and all that. And he just sat there like it. After she got done cutting it all up for him, you know, he was supposed to eat it, you know. He never said, thank you, Mama. He never did say, thank you, Mama. And then he wouldn't eat it. I wanted to so bad get involved. I really wanted to become a part of that action. But I didn't. Daddy was sitting over there. I said, Daddy, it's up to you, bud. So what did Daddy do? He went up and got the plate and went and ate it himself. That's what daddies do, you know. But anyway, no discipline whatsoever. That little boy sat there and never thanked his mama. Mama come over and cut that all up for him. And blessing to him. And helped him, fixed it for him, made it for him. He just sat there with an old stern face. And I said to myself, oh, that little boy, what's he going to do when he gets 16, 17 years of age? What's he going to do down the road? I see it. I see these little boys there, and I see these little girls that are rebellious. No, I see it. They're rebellious as can be. And I say, yeah, they're that way now. What are they going to be when they get teenagers? Mom and daddy's going to have all kinds of trouble with them when they get to be teenagers. Because if you don't start down here early and get them straightened out, you're going to have trouble with them the rest of your life. You got to start when it's early. You got to get them straightened out when it's early. You got to get them in church when it's early. Get them to love God when it's early. You're not going to do that when they get 15 years old. They're not going to care if they ever go to church or not. I know of a situation right now, a little boy, I'm going to guess again, but I say he's probably 14, 13, something right now, won't go to church. Mom and daddy is divorced, and he won't go to church. He just tells mama, I'm not going. We see that all, that didn't start when he was 13, 14 years old. That started way down here. Yeah, you got to mold these young people when they're young. You got to do it according to the will of God. You can't just sit back and let all this happen and then say, God, help me. God, where are you at? Why ain't you straightening this out? No, he gave you to straighten it out. I mean, amen? Is preacher right? I'm not trying to be mean. Amen. Is preacher right? Amen. Sure, why did he give parents to those children for? Amen. To nurture them and train them. Amen? Sure. I'm just simply saying for you folks, listen, we just do that all the time. We want to ask God to do something God's already given us the ability to. Now, I guarantee you something. There's a lot of things in life that I cannot do, and God will do it for me. God don't perform miracles if we can already do it ourselves. He's given us the responsibility to train our children. He's given us the responsibility to do it. He expects us to do it. Amen? Amen? Now, you got a child that's out and rebellious. I'm not saying you ought not to pray to God. You ought to ask God, but you ought to step up and do what's right to do. You'll do everything you can to straighten those children out. Amen? Sure. Now, will God help you? I believe he will if you'll do your part. Yes, he will. You're not going to do your part. He's not going to enter into it. I'm just simply saying, well, we got to learn to do things according to the will of God. What God says in his word, you see. According as we pray, we know we have the petition. Why? Because we've done what God said to do. You see, we've done what God said to do, you see. All right. I know something in my own life about God teaching me. If I was rebellious, God didn't give me anything. I mean, he took care of my needs, but I want to tell you, he didn't bless me. He straightened out my rebellion. And I believe that's the way it's supposed to be for parents. When children rebel, they ought to be straightened out. Our children's not liking this too well. But they ought to be straightened out. I mean, they ought to be straightened out. You want to live a good long life, you see. If you want to live a good long life, you need to obey mom and dad. That's what the Bible says. You have your life cut short. You understand? I've told a lot of parents that before. I've told children that before. I've had them in my office and said, "You're really fooling with a problem, tragedy. You're going to rebel against mom and dad. You're going to get your life cut short. You don't obey your mom and dad. You're going to get your life cut short, bud. That's what the Bible says. You know, they don't think so. They don't believe the Bible, but that's true. Absolutely. You just don't fool around. Oliver B. Green, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard. I just love him. I love him today. I get to hear him once in a while now. I thank God for it. I love Brother Oliver B. Green. He said, I won't live a long life. He died when he was 58 years old. He said, because I gave my mom and daddy so much trouble when I was a boy. He said, he knew. He was a preacher. He said, I won't live a long life. I read that in one of his books. He died when he was 58 years old. He knew. He understood the scripture. See, people fool around. These young people fool around today. They think they can just go ahead and give their mom and dad's hard time, disobey their mom and dad's, and get by with that. You're not going to get by with it. Right. Now, you can think not. You can think, well, it don't make any difference what that preacher says. But you see, you don't understand. You're fooling with God, not this preacher. Understand? You need to obey your mom and dad. Do what they said. See? Amen. You see, parents, you need to help them do that. Amen. Sure. All right. Now, I want to ask you a test. I just want to ask you something. Are you receiving answers to your prayers that are out of your control? You see, the Word of God says, and I want to go back here in verse number 17 and excuse me, 15. And if you know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. I want to know something. Are you getting prayers answered that's completely out of your control? Sometimes we can control our prayers. We ask God for something, we just go out and get it. But I'm talking about things that you cannot do. You cannot help. Are you getting answers to prayers? Check it out. Amen. Is God answering your prayers? Now, I realize that God don't always answer when we want Him to. I realize that He doesn't answer always the way we want Him to. But let me say to you, God will answer the prayers of His children that are walking in truth. He will answer our prayers. May not do it the way we want it done, may not do it when we want it done, but He will do it. So that's just a test to see. I'm just going to cover real quickly. Verse number 16. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. This, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And then he says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. I know he's not talking about here the belief in Christ, because he says there is a sin not unto death. Now, any person who does not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is destined for an eternal hell. That's for sure. But God talks about the sin unto death. Moses committed the sin unto death. Moses smote the rock the second time when God told him to only speak to the rock. And God says, you're not going to go over into the promised land. You're going to die up here on this mountain. There was a sin. Also, his brother Aaron's sinned the sin unto death. And when he had the golden calf all fixed up there and had him, Israel worshiping it, he also did not go into the promised land. Achan was another that committed the sin unto death. Achan went out and took those items that he was not supposed to take when they attacked Jericho, and he was not supposed to take those. He took them, and God allowed him to be stoned to death, the sin unto death. I'm saying also the Lord's Supper. I mentioned it earlier. People come to the Lord's Supper unworthily. He said some are sickly and some even sleep, which means some are already dead because they come to the Lord's Supper unworthily. So there is a sin unto death. Let me just say something to you. You say, Brother Ross, what is that sin? I think it's all different. I don't know what the sin is. It's different in the illustrations I gave you. But there is a time when God gets tired of fooling with His children. It's like the little boy that was outside playing outside. He's playing with some of his buddies. And he kept causing trouble. He kept fighting with them and causing all kinds of trouble. His mama walked outside and said, Son, he said, Son, I'm going to tell you, if you don't quit this, I'm going to bring you in the house and I'm going to put you in your room and you're not coming back out. Well, I just want you to know something. Sometimes God steps out of heaven and says, Son, you either straighten up or I'm going to take you up to my house. You're going to have to come in. I had a friend of mine, 50 years of age, probably told you about him before. But 50 years of age, died early, and the reason he died, I believe with all of my heart, was because of sin. He wouldn't straighten up. He was one of those fellows that helped me tremendously when I first got saved. He helped me in the scripture, taught me a lot of things. We worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company together, and after that, he got away from God and got to even going out to Las Vegas, and gambling and things like that. And I questioned him about it. I asked him about it. I said, why in the world are you doing this? I said, why don't you just deny Christ? And tears started falling out of his eyes. He said, well, I can't deny Christ. With 50 years of age, God took him home. What he done was come outside and he said, son, if you don't straighten up, he said, you're doing more harm down here than you're doing good, so I'll just take you home. And he did. What I'm saying to you, you know, we think we can fool around with God. We think we can do anything we want to do. But there comes a time when God just says, okay, that's it. I'm taking you on home. You're causing too much trouble down there. You're not a good witness for me. So I'm just going to take you on home. Amen? You just don't live and do what you and I think we ought to do. We do what God says in His Word. His will. What He says. There was a young man that was called into Christian service. And he met this girl. He loved her dearly. And she said, I'm not going to marry a preacher. I'm not going to spend my life as the life of a preacher's wife. So he took this good job. He was a very brilliant young man. He took this good job. And years later, he never had been happy. I met one of those men at Andicon Aluminum Company after I announced that I was going to preach and I was going to quit Andicon Aluminum Company and go to preaching. A man came up to me. Throckmorton, is that the way you said? You remember Art, Brother Dave? You probably remember him, Art. Art Throckmorton. He said to me, he said, you're wise in doing what you're doing. He said, if God called you, you get out there and preach. He said, he called me many years ago. And he said, I said no to him. And he said, I've had all kinds of things. He had money. I mean, he had quite a bit of money. He said, but I've been one of the most miserable men there are. All my life, he said, I've just been miserable. Never been happy. He said, I'm glad. He called me Bob. He said, Bob, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. You're doing right. He said, I've been happy. See, this young man was unhappy all of his life. Got up to about 50 years old, and he got tuberculosis and died an early age. God just took him home. That's the story. It's a true story. He wouldn't answer the call, what God asked him to do. No, no, no. You see, he played around with God. You don't play around with God. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not going to get by with it. Amen? You do what He says. What God says. You'll be miserable the rest of your life. Amen? Don't play around with it. Now, let me say this to you. If you're unsaved, now listen to me. It's not just going to church. It's just not believing there is a God. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. You can't buy it. You can't get it any other way. You can't work your way to heaven. It's just not somebody else that's going to help you get to heaven. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you. You're going to have to put your faith, your trust, and what He says and what He calls it is, you must be born again. Has there been a day in your life when you've been born again? I'm not talking about you went to church. I'm not talking about you got baptized. I'm not talking about you believe there is a God. I'm talking about, have you come to Christ and admitted you're an old sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, and you need Christ to save you and wash you from your sins in His blood? Has there been that day and you received Him as your personal Savior and you become a child of God and you know right today if you died you'd go to heaven because you've been born again? Has there been that day? See, I can't judge your heart, can't check it out, but let me say to you, you should. Don't fool around with God. Don't play games with Him. You don't get to heaven any other way. It has to be through Christ, the Son of God. All I'm asking you to do this morning is this. If that assurance is not there, the Bible says that you may know you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? Are you for sure of that? You know that. If not, I've got some wonderful news for you. God loves you so much. He wants to save your soul. He wants to give you eternal life. We're inviting you this morning to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Know for sure that you're ready for heaven. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your word and how clear the word of God is on he that hath a son hath life and he that hath not the son hath not life. Thank you, Lord, that what we got to determine this morning is, do I really have the Son of God? And if not, Father, this wouldn't this be a wonderful time for these folk, Lord, to just put their faith and trust in you and believe upon the Son of God and be born again? Be a wonderful time. And I know that's your desire. That's what you want. So while this preacher prays, Lord, just convict hearts this morning. Convict of sin. If they're not sure, oh God, get it settled. Help them to get it settled today. And we'll just praise your name for it and thank you for it. Now, Lord, we ask you to take this invitation, do with it as you see fit. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.